Thanks be to God. So this is 2017, and I know many of you probably went along with the momentum or the experience of greeting New Year's and the tradition of New Year's greeting, and you might have made New Year resolutions. And I could see some of you are already saying, this year I want to gain 50 pounds. And if you say that, you're my kind of people, all right? If you say, I want to eat more candies, more chocolates, more cakes, you're my kind of people, too. But if you say that, well, this year I want to go to the gym more and eat more vegetables, do more exercise, I want to be kinder and more compassionate and more loving and all good stuff, then you're just catching up with your resolution from 2014 and 15 and 16. So, I mean, you're my kind of people too. So here we are in this year, 2017. I know we all been joyful about somehow looking forward to 2017 and also being able to say, thank you, God, that we have completed 2016 and here we are. So praise God for that. And so this is also the time in which we celebrate. As you see, some of the poinsettias still there and some of the decorations. Christmas is not over yet, people. Don't get too excited, right? Well, you should be excited. Christmas is still on. It's the season. Today is the day that we celebrate in our Christian calendar. Anybody knows? The day of the Epiphany, right? Somebody said it? Epiphany, right? You got it. If you said it, you're right. Today's the day of Epiphany, which is the day that the wise men, I don't know how many numbers, I don't know exactly where they came from, and we just say the East, maybe somewhere from Persia or Middle East, or the some hymns said Orient, but we don't exactly sure where they came from, but they came from far, far away to see the baby, to visit the baby Jesus, and to present their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh to this baby Jesus. And in a Christian calendar today, we also recognize the baptism in many traditions. They celebrate the baptism of Jesus Christ. So, which is also appropriate, which is baptism is all about bringing newness and being identified with Christ. So today is a very special day, not only New Year's Day, but the day that we celebrate the Epiphany and the baptism of Jesus Christ. And the day that we, too, look forward to say, how do we journey with God this year? So in journeying with God this year, we need to learn from the very book, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, in which the wise men, the magi, came from far away, and they came and they took this journey, not by their own reasoning, not based on their own understanding, but they journey by faith, by faith. How do I know that? Although they seem to have some sort of sign, the sign that were the GPS, which is God positioning system, maybe, all right, that they follow was the stop in the sky, right? So we know that that's the GPS that they have. They were following the stars in the sky, but they don't exactly know for sure how long the journey would take, and they don't know the exact location because they had to stop in Jerusalem and ask King Herod. So we know that these wise men, although they were wise, they don't really have this exact directions. So quite frankly, if you were the townspeople where they stopped by, if you asked them where they were heading, most of the answer will be like, we're not sure. Or where are you guys going to go? We're not so sure. We're just following that star, right? If you ask them where exactly is he going to go, and they probably say, we're not so sure. I mean, these are wise people, folks. So it's okay. This at times, you say, when people ask about our faith, it's okay willing to admit that we're not sure, but we know who is guiding us. We know who is leading us. Journey with God involves faith. F-A-I-T-H, faith. In Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6, it said, It is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so those who see God, who journey out to see God, must first believe that God exists. This is totally a backward of our understanding, we wise people, the way we reason, the way we understand. Because we want to have all the details all figured out before we could say, I believe, right? But, you know, in order, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, those who want to see God, those who seek God, they must first admit that God exists. And then they will find God. Journey with God this year will involve faith. And with that faith will involve worship and commitment. How so? Remember the Magi when they came and finally they got to the location, and when they stopped in Jerusalem and asked King Herod, and King Herod said, why do you want to see this little baby? And they said, well, we want to worship this king. We want to give homage. We want to praise and adore and worship this king, this Jesus, who the prophets long foretold about his birth, his coming. So faith, journey with God this year will involve worship and commitment. Worship and commitment. Worshiping Christ that involve our lives, yes, our talents, our abilities. The very fact that you all came this morning at 10 a.m. on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2017, in this room, in this building, in this hour, to be with all of these good-looking people, you're making a commitment, right? A commitment to be here, because you could be elsewhere, or either in your First Presbyterian Church of Bed, which the pastor could be the pillow, as they call it. All right, you could still be relaxing at home and having your longer celebration of New Year, but you didn't do that. You came to worship the Lord. You came to adore the King of Kings, this baby. You make a commitment to be here. So praise God for you. All right, so this is a good start. Praise the Lord. It is true, unless God wills it, you won't be here. And we Presbyterians will believe that God ordained everything. All of our action, and not that he controls us, but not that he determined, out of love, he called us to be his people, to worship him, to honor him. It is by grace we came today. And so you commit yourself in worship and commitment. It's going to take some sacrifice. You say, whoa, that's a big word. In journeying with God this year, and it will involve sacrifice. What sacrifice? Well, think about these Magi. Well, they took a long journey. They left their comfortable home, comfortable land, and they took off in a place that they had no idea, you know, what would be like and what would they face, just to come to adore this little baby, this baby Jesus. They make sacrifices through their worship and commitment. They came to bring their very best, expensive gifts, and the right gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's so many stories and so many teachable lessons that would go along with the gifts, but we know that those gifts appropriate for the king, and those gifts are appropriate for God, deity. And those gifts are appropriate for the one who came to die for us, the sacrificial lamb. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All appropriate and expensive gifts to the Lord. But the gifts, the sacrifice that God is asking all of us today, men and women, is not necessarily our gold or frankincense and myrrh in material sense, although those would be nice. If you have some of you, those, I've seen this on television. If you have diamonds and golds and some cash, just put it right on the offer. Just kidding. But God did not necessarily asking you for your material gifts, although those can be used definitely for the work of the kingdom, just like we take offerings to pay for the building, the lights, and the expenses of ministries and paying staff and all the rest. But the sacrifice that God wants from you today, my friends, is you. God wants you this year. God wants you. He wants you to give him everything. Yourself. Here's what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. To offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's what God wants from you this year. He wants your body. I want to say it one more time. God wants your body. He wants your everything. Give to Him. Give to God. Your bodies is a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Yes, having the right form and order and the right style of music that fit the audience is important. Yes, having good music is important. Yes, preaching well is important. Yes, organizing well about preaching, not to do things in disorderly, but things in decently order, all those are important, incredibly important. But most important in worship is it because our God is spirit, who knows our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, that He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And doing so, our proper and holy worship would be that we offer God everything. Not just on Sunday, not just on Saturday night, but every day as our act of worship to God. And yes, it's on Saturday. Yes, on Sunday mornings. But most importantly, our daily living. God is calling you to give your body to Him. How so? And Father, go down in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 18. It said, love. You ought to love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, like what we do this morning, and think of our brothers and sisters. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is how we worship. This is how we honor God. This is how we offer our body as a living and sacrifice. These are not a beautiful writing of Sir Paul or St. Paul. These are the word of the Lord, inspired word of God, given to Paul, to us, in this Holy Scripture. So as the Magi came to worship the Lord, so too we are called to honor and worship as believers, as Christian, to honor God and to worship God, to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. And yes, when we do that, we will see God. We will see God in a way that He wants us to see Him. And that we will be strengthened continually as we worship Him. And you know what? When our worship is done right, we become a new people. We are changed. We find another way. Not the ways of the world. Not the ways of King Herod's, who would take away everything that threaten his identity, his security, his powers and position. Although Herod did claim that he wanted to worship Christ, and that he tended to claim that he's a believer, and that he would worship this Christ when he sees him, if he saw him. But you know the truth. You know the story, that King Herod ordered all the boys who were 2 years and under to be slaughtered, because it threatened his power and position. And he, instead of worshiping Christ, Herod would rather get rid of Christians, get rid of Christ. Men and women, as wise people, as the Magi did, may we too find another way. May we become a changed people, because of Christ. See, no one can claim that when they meet Christ, they say their lives ever the same. No one can say that, oh, I meet Christ, but I'm still doing the stuff that I've done before I met Christ. I'm kind of the same person. As Paul talks about, he won the church, the Christian church, dearly, as before he visited the Corinthians, and he told them that before, if he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, he said to the church, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and a change took place. The old has gone. What are the old? Those sins. The sins we commit, the sin, our slavery to sin, all the things that we have done wrong. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old has gone, and the new has come. So recognizing that when we met Christ, we're new people, Paul warned the church, the Christians in Corinthians, and said, don't go back to your old ways. God has already changed you, became a new people. You became a changed people by meeting and having an encounter with Christ. In fact, he warns that the danger of doing that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, Paul said, for I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. You see, we need to leave all those old selves behind, especially that everything that took place 2016. If those things were happening to us as Christians, as the church, as believers, we got to leave all those things behind, because when we met Christ, we became a changed new people, new creation. So how now shall we live our lives as changed people and being made new in Christ? Well, I think we don't have to go to look for new philosophies and new books, or those there. Books can help us, new ways, but we look back to the book. What does God say about living as a changed, a new people in 2017? Now, the Bible doesn't say 2017, but in as new people. Galatians says this, our old ways, in Galatians chapter 5, it says the acts of our flesh desire are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Again, this is in Galatians. Paul repeated this, or wrote to a believer in another location. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, we got to leave all of these things behind. You got to remind our family and friends who know the Lord, who had encountered with Christ, to live all of this, all the flesh desire, flesh sins of our past, but live as Christ called us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. But this is how we ought to live as changed people. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Did you hear that? Those who met Christ, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those who said, who proclaim and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They said those who belong to Jesus Christ, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. We can go back to those things that kills us, those things that separate us from God. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Why is it so important to remember in 2017? Because Paul knew that Christians like that people, those times before in his times, and Christian today, because it's applicable to all of us, that from time to time we are tempted to go back to our old ways. Remember the hymn said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So Paul was warning the Christians then and now to remain in Christ, to abide in Christ. Not living as new creature would be the death of his body. And he warns that in Galatians, and I'm almost done. Whoever is yawning right now, I'm almost done. Yeah. The warning that Paul gives is this. It's not my words. It's the Holy Scripture. He said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, he said this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. We're all called to be free by the grace of God. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Isn't it so applicable today for our relationship with one another, our relationship with God, our relationship with the church, our relationship with those who are out there? We got to serve one another in love, for we have been called to be set free. We are called to be free. Let's not go back to our prisons, our former ways, which held us captive, which are our selfish desire. I mean, I just read them. I think I completed the list. Men and women, we should be joyful that we've been set free from all of that, and we don't have the power to live a new life on our own. That's precisely why God gave us his power, his grace, through the Holy Spirit, through what Christ has done for us. God gave us his power to live for him. For all things are possible with God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Men and women, it is possible to live as a changed and a new people. Well, ask any of those sinners back in the Bible. Ask any one of them. Ask Job. Oh, ask women at the well, the Samaritan woman. Ask the Zacchaeus. Ask Matthew, the tax collector. Ask adulterous woman. They have been changed by God, and guess what? Their lives were transformed forever. And they were made new, and they were empowered by God to be his people, to be his workers, to be his missionaries, to be his witnesses. Men and women, I've been so passionate, so enthusiastic about encouraging you to spread the good news, to share the good news throughout the years. I want to remind you that's great. That's what we should be doing. The Great Commission. But I'm reminded today as I prepare for this text, men and women, if we don't live ourselves as new people, nobody's going to be attracted to the news that we proclaim out there. And that's a great reminder that before going out there, let's put our house in order. Let's put our hearts in order. Let's give Christ our hearts, our bodies. Let's not go back to all kind of sexual immoralities. Let's greed, lust, jealousy, envy, all that the Bible has named. Let's move forward by his help, living as new people. Let's demonstrate the gospel in our lives, in here, in our church, in our community. And let's share the good news that the whole world can have the freedom that we have today, that is to be set free in Christ, to be made right with God, that we are no longer enemies of God, but we are friends of God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, sitting on the throne, he said, "Behold, behold, I am making all things new." God made you new. He made you a brand new you. Not only he loved you just the way you are, he died for you, he set you free from God's wrath, and he gave you a new identity, a new name, a new person. Let us live up to our identity with God's grace and help in this new 2017. Let us not only declare our faith, our Christianity, the gospel, but let's demonstrate the gospel in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join us in singing our